All right, so we're in Romans chapter 14 this morning. Romans chapter 14. And I have my sermon somewhere. Here it is. All right. And as mentioned earlier, Brother Matthew is going to be preaching for tonight. So pray for my dad. So he is going to surgery about now. So doctors and anesthesiologists are a little concerned about things. So just pray that all would go well with that. All right, Romans 14. So as we walk through our Christian life, I think we many times take for granted how God guides us and God leads us, how God uses His Word to show us direction in our life, how the Holy Spirit works to guide and direct us to that God in His mercy and grace has saved us through the blood of Jesus Christ, but not only that, that He has given us instructions for life. Aren't you glad that we just didn't get saved and God says, okay, you need to figure it out for yourself? He gave us the Comforter, the Teacher of all truth, the Holy Spirit, and His Word. And we're equipped to love, serve, and honor the Lord with our lives. So it's easy to follow God when we have clear direction, isn't it? When you go down the road and you see a stop sign, what are you supposed to do? Roll through it, right? No, not a California stop, but we're to stop, right? When a yield sign doesn't mean go faster. It means if someone's coming, you're to what? Move, yeah. Stop, right? You know, but some people in Killeen are confused on what a yield sign means. But anyway, so when we see those things, that's clear direction for us. We should or should not do something. And God's Word is very clear about many things. Very, very clear that we are not to commit fornication. Amen? We're to not commit adultery. We're not to lie. We're not to steal. We're not to cheat. We're to be honest. Amen? We're to honor. We're to edify. We are given many thou shalt and thou shalt not in the Bible. But there are areas that are not as clear cut. Okay? Now I'm going to handle this very, very carefully because it's a very popular thing today. So, well, there's some gray areas in God's truth. No, I'm not talking about gray areas, but simply areas where the application of Scripture requires wisdom. Amen? Gray areas. Well, is it really wrong? Is it really right? You know what? I think for every single one of those questions, God has wisdom for it in His Word. God has answers for everything, and we're going to look at having wisdom about those situations tonight. And our passage in Romans 14 is a reference to a situation that was delicate in the church at Rome, and it was an issue of whether Christians should eat meat offered to idols, because there was a problem in the church at Rome that there were those that had come out of idol worship, had come out of eating those meats that were sacrificed to gods and false gods, and they had a spiritual significance in doing that. Now, they were saved and had trusted Christ as Savior, but those things were something that would possibly cause them to fall back into their old and pagan ways, and then there were those that had no qualms about it. It didn't bother them at all, and it wasn't a conscience problem. And we see here a lesson taught to us about those areas, and we're going to be looking at questionable areas tonight. Areas of question. Should we or should we not do something? Should we do this or should we not? And the question is, what do we do in those situations? And Romans 14 gives us so much wonderful wisdom in this area. Many times we preach on this, we're talking about Christian liberty, and we do have liberty in Christ. But also, we have a responsibility to those around us and a responsibility to the Lord. And we're going to look at those this morning. If we could take our Bibles, Romans 14, we're going to begin in verse number 19. If we could stand together out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. Romans 14, verse 19 through 23. And God's Word says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." So this morning, in a message entitled, "Not Convinced," not convinced. What should we do when we're not convinced we're doing the right thing in relation to anything that has to do with our Christian life? And what is our responsibility to our brothers and sisters in Christ and what is our responsibility to the Lord. Let's pray and ask God's blessing this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use this message, Lord, for your wisdom is the most important possession we can have in this life. It is worth more than gold or silver or rubies or diamonds, all the riches of this world. Your wisdom and your instruction, dear Lord, is so precious. I pray that we would take it to heart this morning. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would use the liberty you have given us in yourself, not for an occasion of the flesh, but, Lord, to use it to edify and build up one another and to give you glory. I pray that you be with my father now as he goes to surgery. I pray that you be with those that are ill. Pray that you be with me as you would give me the words and utterance to preach today. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Not convinced. Have you ever come to a place of decision and you just weren't convinced? Maybe you were at the appliance store and maybe the salesman had done a great job of telling you all the features of this refrigerator or deep freezer or whatever it may be, and you see the price and you see the warranties on it, but then you come to the end and you're just like, man, I'm just not convinced. Now, how many of you, let's do a poll here this morning, that you have bought something, you weren't fully convinced, but you bought it anyway? Right? We've all done that. Now, let's do another little poll. For those of you that raised your hand, how many of you regretted buying that thing? Most of you, right? Okay, because you weren't convinced. And there are things we do as Christian people that we're not convinced that it's right in the eyes of God. That we're not convinced that is what God would have us do. And you know what? We come to the end, the conclusion is, we end up regretting those decisions many times. We can make decisions as God's people. We need to get away from this philosophy of, well, it seems like it's a good thing. I guess it's okay. I hope it's going to work out. We can have confidence in the will of God. We can have confidence in God's direction. We can have confidence that God is leading us, and we don't need to have this, well, I'm not convinced. Because verse number 23 is extremely important in our discussion this morning. Verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Now, it's not talking about the damnation of hell, but it means judgment. They're going to come into a judgment. You're going to stand before God because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What does this mean? If we are not convinced 100% that we have faith, this is what God would have me do. So this morning, we're going to look at some principles here, some questions, if you will. Today, Christians are faced with many decisions, and we need to make sure that we are making godly and holy decisions based on Scripture. So we're going to make this in the form of some questions that we need to ask this morning. Four questions. Now, let's start in verse number 19. Let's read that again. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So here's question number one. Will this edify the body of Christ? Will this edify the body of Christ? Meaning, is this going to be an encouragement to those who see me? Is this going to be an encouragement to myself? Is this going to be an encouragement to my family in spiritual things? As a pastor, well, not everything is a spiritual decision. True, not everything we involve ourselves is spiritual, but every decision we make has a spiritual impact. Okay, let me say that again. Not every decision we make is spiritual, but even our physical decisions, they all have a spiritual impact. Okay, everything when it comes down to it is spiritual. In that we are either making a decision that is in line with the will of God, we are making a decision that is not in line with the will of God. That we are making a holy decision or making an unholy decision. That we are making a righteous, separated decision or a profane and fleshly, worldly decision. So when we come to those places, I don't know which one it is. And that does happen in our Christian life. I don't know which one it is. Well, let's find out what these questions, what this means. Will this edify the body of Christ? As it says here in this verse, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace. What was going on in the church at Rome? Conflict was taking place. People were saying, well, you shouldn't be eating that because it's sacrificed to idols. Don't you know where that comes from? Yeah, I do, but I don't care because I have liberty to eat it if I want to eat it. They were talking about in eating in maybe at one another's homes. The practice was in the early church to come and take meals together. As we see in the church at Corinth, they had taken that a little too far and included the Lord's Supper in that. But they had fellowships. Fellowship is a biblical term, is a biblical trait, amen, of God's people. We like being around one another, amen? Now, let me tell you something. Would you rather be around lost people or saved people? We'd rather be around safe. Why? Because our hearts are different. Our thinking's different. Everything is different. If you're uncomfortable in the house of God, there's a problem. If you're uncomfortable around other Christians, there's a problem in our heart and our life. Maybe we're not saved, or maybe we're not as close to God as we need to be. But what our decisions, every single decision everybody makes in here today, if it's a public decision especially, it's going to affect, either encourage or discourage someone in here today. Decisions I make are either going to encourage the body of Christ or discourage it. Every person that's part of the body, you have a decision to make. Are you going to encourage, edify, build up, as God calls the house, a spiritual house built up, or are we going to discourage? Are we going to tear down? Look at Romans 15, verse number 2, just over the next page. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. An overarching principle of our Christian life is that we should do all that we can to build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we are going to do something that is going to offend them, cause them to stumble into sin, stumble back into the old life, we ought not do it. The overarching principle, build up those around you. Don't be an offense. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1 is another verse that tells us about edification, building up. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. What is this talking about? Knowledge. Well, I know that that idol's made of stone. I know that that idol is is not real. And I know that if I eat that, it's just like any other meat. Therefore, I can do it. But instead, what's the overarching principle? We shouldn't partake of it because of this. It might cause my brother to stumble. Paul says in that same chapter that I will not eat meat as the world standeth, if it causes someone to be offended. I'll give up eating meat altogether if I need to. Now, do I think he did? No. But he's just saying, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to think of others first before myself. Because sometimes when they talk about Christian liberty, it's about what I want. That's the discussion today in many modern books and things. And well, I have liberty to do it. Yes, you do. But this life isn't about you. It's about others. It's about our relationship with the Lord. And we need to have that overarching principle. Will this edify the body of Christ? Ephesians 4:29, another passage that talks about edifying. All through the New Testament, all through the Scriptures, it talks about building up and encouragement. Guess what? We are torn down enough by the world outside, aren't we? Oh, we get discouraged sometimes. We're at a workplace. We have to hear cussing and swearing. And guess what? That grates on us and it tears us down. We have to live through Pride Month. Right? Guess what? You go out there and you see all this stuff, and it can be discouraging. It tears you down. But you know what? As God's people, we don't need to be tearing one another down. The Bible calls it sin. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what I'm talking about, there are things, decisions that we're faced with, that things that we decide to do or involve ourselves with that are not wrong, that are not sinful. And that's what it's being talked about here in Romans 14. It's not sinful to eat meat, right? How many of them like a steak, right? We all like to, how many like to go to Whataburger, okay? It's not sin to eat meat, all right? But the meat specifically was meat offered to idols, was meat that they bought in the marketplace, that this was offered to a particular god. And that's one of the commands that we get, two commands given to the Gentiles from the church at Jerusalem. You know what it was? One is abstain from fornication. Second, don't eat meat offered to idols. It's the second thing. Interesting thing. Do you know that you can go to your grocery store today and buy meat offered to a false god? All halal meat. It's offered to Allah. And when it's butchered, is offered with a blessing to Allah. Is Allah a false god? We don't sound too sure about that. Is Allah a false god? Yes, absolutely. Let's be sure about that. It's not the same. It's not Jehovah God. We don't worship the same God. Amen? And so being offered to a false god. So should we eat that? Now, is it okay, perfectly okay for us? You're like, well, it doesn't matter to me. Let's eat it. But what if you sit down with someone who used to be a Muslim? And guess what? You bring them that meat and you offering, and they ask, hey, they saw the packaging. It's like, hey, is that all halal meat? I said, yes, it is. You know, it's great. It was cheaper this week. Doesn't bother you, but could it be an offense to them? Yes, absolutely. So what's the principle here? Don't eat it or offer it to them because it could be a stumbling block leading them back into Islam, back into a false faith. Edify, build up. Amen? Second question, will this violate the conscience of a fellow Christian? Verse number 20. Let's look back at Romans 14, verse number 20. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Means it bothers their conscience. It bothers them. We see here in verse number 15, verse further up in Romans 14, it says this, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Don't destroy the work of God. 1 Corinthians 8:13, I mentioned that a minute ago. Paul said, I'll eat no meat as world stands. I'm not going to eat it. Why? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Every Christian here today, you are a work that God is in the middle of working on. We don't build ourselves. We don't change ourselves. God is the master builder. Ephesians 2:10 very clearly tells us that we are his workmanship. Meaning we're not the one that turn ourselves into the amazing, faithful Christian. No, it is God that does the work in our life. Amen. The miracle of salvation, the miracle and the transformation that God makes in our life, the process of sanctification, this is God's work. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Good works. Doing right. So if what we're doing is going to violate the conscience of another Christian, should we do it? Will you destroy the work of God's hands? Will you be so proud as to cause another to be destroyed so you can do what you want to do? This is not biblical Christianity or Christian liberty. Today, so many are focused on how much they can get away with in churches. How much can I, and I'm just being honest about it. What can I get away with? And talking to people or reading these books, the purpose is, they never once mention the holiness of God. They never once mention that we're to edify, we're to consider our brother and sister in Christ. Instead, hey, this is what the Bible says you can do, and we can come right up to the line here. Here's a line right here. This is sin, this is not sin, and we're going to stand right there. I'm going to get 1 centimeter away. That is not a Christ-like mentality. That is not a mentality of holiness. That is a mentality that's flesh-driven. How close can I get to the law, right? Just like our children sometimes. We have a rule in the house. How close can they get? And they say, and we tell them, don't touch it, and they're there. I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it. And then you look back, and they look away, and you touch it real quick. I'm not touching it, right? Do they get disciplined for that? Yes, they do. Why? Because they're not doing the act, but their heart is saying, I'm doing it already in their heart. I'm doing it. I don't like the rule you gave me. I don't like the command. Instead, we should set up standards or set up protections away from the line. So if we go past our standard, we're still not in sin. Amen? Safety. Guess what? Aren't you glad when they put that guardrail up? You know what? We were on vacation and we were driving through the Ozark Mountains. Guess what? In Missouri, in Arkansas, they do not believe in guardrails. In certain places, okay? They don't believe in it. For some reason, I don't know why, I guess. They figure if you're dumb enough to drive off the road, that is your judgment to fall off the cliff. I don't know. But we're driving through there, and my wife is not from the mountains. I am. So my wife is a flatlander, okay? So my wife doesn't like the twisty-turny, especially the twisty-turny roads, you know, and I'm kind of driving. I'm getting back, you know, I'm back in my mountain mode, you know, just driving. I'm used to it. And she's like, can you slow down a little bit? There's no guardrail over here. But aren't you glad when they do put the guardrail up? You know, I've ever seen the guardrails that are there, but they're kind of leaning off the side. You know, if just a little push, you know, it's not going to stop you. It's going to help you launch off the cliff there. But aren't you glad when you get that guardrail installed and it's a good ways away? Even if you go through it, you still have time to stop before you go over the edge. That's the type of standards we ought to have as God's people. Not how close can I get to the cliff? Because when we do that, guess what? They're going to help launch you over the edge when you go rub up against them. Third, so we've talked about other people. We've talked about, does this edify the body of Christ? Does this violate the conscience of my brother or sister in Christ? Number three, will this violate my conscience? Well, it's violating my conscience. Well, my conscience doesn't count. That's not what God says. Let's look here at verse number 23, back at Romans 14, verse 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eats, because he eateth not of faith. He has a doubt in his mind. Another verse that talks about this is 1 John 3:21. Turn over there. We need to have confidence that God wants us to do something. Whether it even be as simple as eating a piece of meat, as was being here in Romans chapter 14. That they did not want to dishonor God in what they were doing. And guess what? If you have the question, my conscience is bothered by doing this. By the way, just because it doesn't bother somebody else doesn't make it right. I'll say that again. Just because it doesn't bother somebody else's conscience doesn't make it right. Amen? But if it's bothering your conscience, even if it doesn't bother somebody else's, God gives us a very specific instruction in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 21. 1 John 3:21. It says this, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. What does that mean? If our conscience is clean, then we can have confidence, faith, also one other word you can use here, towards God. That what I'm doing is the right thing. But if you don't do it. Because whatever is not of faith is what? Not a good idea. It's sin. No, it's not just good. It's sin. Hebrews 10:22. Let's turn over there. Why is that sin? Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil what? Conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. All through the New Testament, faith that is unwavering is essential in the Christian life. And if we are doing something that we're not 100% confident is not going to dishonor God, you know what the overarching principle is? Don't do it. Don't do it. If it's questionable, don't do it. If your conscience is violated, then you shouldn't do it. You should not violate your conscience. Also, you should not allow someone else to violate your conscience. What do you mean by that? Peer pressure is real. Well, that's just for kids. That's real for adults, too. Well, you know what? You go over to so-and-so's house. You're having a wonderful time of fellowship and everything. And then they pull out a movie. You know, hey, we're going to sit down. We're going to watch a movie. And you know what? You see the rating on it. That's not right. And you're aware of this movie, you've never seen it, but you know it has some things that don't honor the Lord in it that bother your conscience. You know what Christians do 9 times out of 10? Watch the movie anyway, and then their conscience is violated. Well, I don't want to cause a problem. There's a way to say something in a way that's not going to cause a problem, amen? So you know what, could we really watch this one over here? Right? We get in these sticky situations and we need God's wisdom. What do I do? Just mention, hey, you know, my conscience really is bothering me. And guess what? If the right kind of friend and the right kind of Christian would say, I am so sorry, we're not going to watch that. Let's watch something else. Amen? That's being the right kind of Christian. Guess what? If you're out with somebody and they have a higher standard than you, don't you sit there and say, well, aren't they a holy roller? Man, they're just a bunch of Bible thumpers. That's not Christ-like. That's not biblical Christianity. Praise God they've got a standard. Amen? And praise God they're trying to live a holy life because there's harder and harder to find. You know what you say? That's no problem. I'm not going to offend their conscience. I'm going to go along with their standard. Amen? And it brings such joy and unity and fellowship one to another. But when pride gets in there, well, I don't think I have to do that. I don't like that. You know what? They just need to accept me for who I am. That's pride. Nothing more, nothing less. Our liberty is not to be used as an occasion to the flesh. Well, let's violate my conscience. Don't allow someone else to violate your conscience through peer pressure. By the way, if they're trying to pressure you into doing something that's not biblical, that violates your conscience, they're not the right kind of friend. They're not the right kind of people to be around. You need to be around people that are going to edify and build you up. That's tearing down. Because if we're concerned that it's not pleasing to God, then we must abide by the biblical principle that we should abstain from doing it instead of forging ahead. And that leads us to the last question. Last question here, number 4. Do I have absolute confidence God would have me do this? Do I have absolute confidence? Right? We don't have to have questions about, does God want me to read my Bible today? Amen? We can have absolute confidence God wants that, right? That God wants me to pray today. We can have absolute confidence in that. That God doesn't want me to steal today. We can have absolute confidence in that. Amen? Why? Because His word's clear. But maybe you're invited to go with certain individuals to go do something. Maybe that thing isn't wrong, but for some reason, the Holy Spirit of God doesn't give you peace about it. There's a violation of conscience. There's something wrong there. And you know, many times we're afraid to do this. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us about something and we have a lack of peace, we just say, oh, you know, we just need to get over it. Need to listen to what God's telling us. There might be something. Every time you can call it the little voice or whatever, it's the Holy Spirit of God, tells us to do something, gives us that prodding and that prompting to not do something or to do something. Guess what? I'm always thankful when I don't do what God told me not to do. Because you find out later why God did that. You didn't know, but God knew. And God also prompted you to do something. You know what? Whenever God prompts me to witness to somebody that I need to witness to, man, I'm so glad when I do. Maybe a door that I was going to pass by that said no soliciting on it. You know what the Holy Spirit prompts? You got to knock on that door. Guess what? Every single time. You know what? Every single time someone opens the door. Do you know that? You know, all the doors you can knock and no one answers the door. But those every single time that's happened, someone answers the door. And someone says, you know what? I was looking for a church. Or I have a question about this. Thank you so much for giving me a track. Amen? We need to follow the leading of God. But if we don't have confidence... Having faith means having confidence. Are you confident that God would have you do this? Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When you come to Him in salvation, you can't say, well, I think you're one of the ways, God. You're one of the ways, Jesus. No, He is the only way. And we must have complete confidence in that. That's why it's important not to push someone into praying a prayer. Because sometimes they're not fully convinced. Talked to an individual, did a Bible study with him. I just asked him, would you like to pray? Oh, yes, yes. I was like, I said, let me stop right there. I feel like, you know what, certain crowds of soul winners would probably hang me for this. I said, you know, I just have a feeling you're telling me what I want to hear. He goes, how did you know? I said, I don't know. It's just that I have that feeling that you're just telling me what I want to hear. He is like, well, I just have questions. I was like, so are you 100% convinced that the Bible is true? I don't know why God had me ask that. He said, how did you know? I don't have full confidence in that. I said, well, we got to back up. We got to have confidence that because it doesn't matter what I tell you from here. If you're not convinced it's God's word, it's not going to matter. And you know where we started? We started with the Bible. And he was convinced that the Bible was true. And guess what? Eventually, he got saved as a result. And it really genuinely saved. And he called upon the Lord Jesus to save him. But he had to start where he was. He didn't have confidence that Jesus was the Christ. He didn't have confidence in what the Bible said. But when he had confidence that the Bible was the Word of God and showed him the Scriptures and showed him the confidence he could have, then he had confidence to call upon the Lord for salvation. Don't forge ahead in soul winning if you're not convinced. If they're not convinced, well, I'm not sure. I understand sometimes that's an excuse, but don't push people. If they're not ready, they're not ready. Follow up with them. Don't say, well, we're done with you, but we need to make sure. James 4:17, to him that knoweth do right and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. If you know the right thing is not to do it, and you don't do it, you just sinned. If you know this is what God would have you do and you don't do it, it's sin. You need to have confidence. So what is the conclusion of the whole matter this morning? All of these questions point to one singular concern that every biblical Christian should have. One singular concern. Am I pleasing God in everything I do? That should be our singular concern every day. Lord, am I honoring and pleasing to you? Why? Because we are to love God. Love the Lord thy God. Amen? And when you love someone, you want them to be approving of what you're doing, right? Because if you're doing something against someone you love, there's a break in the relationship. There's a problem there. And there is a lack of peace there. But when you love the Lord with all your heart and you're doing what God would have you do and you are knowing confidence in it, man, that brings some joy in serving the Lord and brings peace There's peace and joy in serving the Lord. And when it comes to things that are questionable, always ask the Lord for wisdom, and He's going to give it. We can make decisions that will take us down destructive paths, destructive to our relationship with God, destructive to our testimony, destructive to our families. So, well, I'm not sure. Not supposed to do it. You know, your children want to go play with a friend. They want to go on this activity or something, and you're not convinced. There's a reason for that. You know what you need to do as a parent? Say, you know what? And your kids say, hey, can I do this? Can I buy this? Can I drive here? Can I do this? And it's like, well, you know what? I can't give you a reason, but I just can't let you do it. What? What do you mean I can't do it? Amen? What? Why can't you do it? Why can't I do it? What? You got to have a reason, because teens always got to have a reason, right? You got to have, young people have to have a reason. Guess what, young people? Here's a little tip. You don't always have one. And guess what? You won't always have one as a parent. Right here, teenagers, well, when I have kids, I'm always going to have a reason. All right, see how that works for you. Don't always have a reason. You don't always have one. And that's okay. You do make the decision. Well, I don't have a good reason. You know, there are people that have gone ahead and made the decision, and they forever regretted it because something happened that wasn't supposed to. When God's talking to you, listen. Listen to the still, small voice of God. When God isn't giving you peace as a parent, or God isn't giving you peace about a decision, God isn't giving you peace about an entertainment choice, God isn't giving you peace about a music choice, God isn't giving you peace about a relationship, God isn't giving you peace about a career, God isn't giving you peace about a home to buy, God isn't giving you peace about a car to buy, God isn't giving you a peace about a promotion, whatever it is, if you don't have peace, don't do it! Didn't mean to blow the speakers out, but... We can make decisions that'll bring us closer to God or further away. So what are we going to do today? Well, Pastor, I can do it, you know. I've got liberty, you know. You know what? Sometimes we wear our Christian liberty around like a badge of honor. Guess what? We're free from so much. We're free from the penalty of sin. We're free from the pit of hell. But never should we use our Christian liberty in a fleshly way. Are we free? Yes, absolutely. What does it say here? Let's go back a couple of verses and I'm done. Romans, I'm looking for the wrong verse here. Romans 14. Verse 18, for he that is in these things serveth God's acceptable. Let us fall after things which make for peace. Okay, going down. Verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself on that thing which he alloweth. So what is he saying? Guess what? If it doesn't offend you, do it in private. That's fine. If, and by the way, not saying, by the way, a lot of people use this today, well, God hasn't spoken to me about that. It might be because you're too far away from God to hear him. Well, God hasn't, you know, we can convince ourselves of so many things. But if you're generally walking with God and you don't see a problem with it, but you know it's going to offend somebody else, don't do it in front of them. But you can, God says, if you do it before him, it's okay. It's fine. And I'm not talking about simple things here, okay? Oh, great. That means I can go and do all these other things that I've always wanted to do that people are going to think bad of me as long as I do it in private. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. Remember what I talked about, that meat for a Muslim? You wouldn't give it to a Muslim, but is there anything wrong with you eating if it doesn't offend you? The Bible says no. Do it before God. There's no offense there. But let's think about this. Well, see, I can do it. But what if that same brother that maybe you didn't know was watching you saw you buy that meat at HEB or Walmart? You know, there was a pastor that was a very good illustration that he liked to rent movies. And back when Blockbuster, who remembers Blockbuster, right, back in the day? And it seems like a long time. Young people, they don't know what Blockbuster was. But anyway, it was a thing called videotapes. Who knows what videotapes are? It's crazy. You know, we're getting to the day. They don't know what a VHS is. There are kids that don't know what a DVD is. All right, it's all Netflix or Amazon Prime. Anyway, or Hulu. But he said he was there, and you know, he would go every once in a while. He said, I wouldn't rent anything bad. You know, we'll go rent, you know, Bambi, you know, and things like that for the kids. You know, Andy Griffith's show. He said, I would never rent anything bad. And, you know, but I always felt a little funny about it. But he said, you know, I don't need to worry about it. So he was pastoring, and so he was coming out of the store one day, and he had... a Blockbuster bag. He had a couple videos in there, and he saw one of his church members that had just gotten saved and gotten really on fire for God see him there and said, "Hey, you know," he saw him, and so he came to church, and he said, "Hey, Pastor, you know, I saw you coming out of Blockbuster yesterday." And so, "Oh, you did?" And, you know, he felt kind of sheepish about it. He said, "Oh, well, yeah, I just had felt like he needed to tell him what videos he was getting, you know, and make sure it was okay and all of that." He said, "Well, you know what? You really helped me with something. You know, ever since I got saved, I had a real problem of renting R-rated movies from Blockbuster, renting the wrong type of movies. And I had real conviction in my heart that I shouldn't rent movies from Blockbuster anymore. And you know what? When I saw you today, I decided, you know, I just don't need to worry about that, but I need to go back and rent from Blockbuster." And you know what? After the service that day, his wife was sitting there next to him. You know what he said? "You know what? I'm never going to Blockbuster again." And he never has. Why? Because he didn't want to be an offense. He was following this. As Paul said, "I'll not eat meat as I stand." Guess what? It was causing an offense in somebody else's life. It was possibly causing him to stumble back into sinful things that he ought not be doing. He said, "You know, I made a decision." He says, "Not for everybody, but for me, I don't want to be an offense, so I'm not going to do it." That's powerful. You don't see many Christians doing that today. Instead, thumping their chest, "I can do that if I want to do it." That's not biblical Christianity. Let's consider others and consider our relationship with the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I pray that you will bless this invitation time, that, Lord, if we're not convinced it's right, Lord, that we not do it, that we not allow others to push us into it, but, Lord, that we would stand for your truth and stand for the conscience that you've given to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us this morning and that you would speak to hearts, dear Lord. Your wisdom is eternal. Your wisdom is everlasting and is exactly what we need this morning. I pray that you guide and direct our time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.